This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Karen, and we have a very special guest, author Nicole Chase. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So today we're basically going to chill with Nicole, and she's going to tell us all about her books and how she got started in the world of publishing, which will be super fun. Nicole, do you want to start off and tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into publishing, what books people should be looking for from you?
Sure. I started publishing. I went straight to self-publishing. I was kind of scared of agents and publishing companies and editors and everything else. So I decided that for me to be able to focus and get a book actually finished without worrying about anything else was to make the decision to go straight to self-pubbing, which had just really hit the market with Amanda Hawking.
Yes.
And so it was a viable alternative at that point. So I went ahead and did that. I started out with a young adult urban fantasy set in Savannah, Georgia, which is where I'm living. And it's just, I love paranormal. Even now, even though I'm writing contemporary, I still have tons of paranormal ideas. But right now I'm focusing on the Royal series and a couple other projects that I have waiting in the wings to come out.
Excellent. So for you, self-publishing was just a way to kind of get your work out there. And it was less scary, actually, than the traditional route, which is really interesting. I think some people are like, self-publishing is so scary.
So. Well, and I think I really, because I did it that way, when I transitioned and I became a hybrid author, which means that I have self-published books and traditionally published books now. I actually was like learning in reverse because I didn't know much about the traditional publishing world. But for me, I'm a research addict, so I had no problem sitting down and like figuring out all the ins and outs and like watching other people try things while I'm working on my book to get it ready. So, I mean, I guess it was less scary to think I didn't have anybody else depending on me. Just me and my book.
That's pretty cool. So what were some of the things you discovered trying to self-publish? Like, what were the things you had to do as a self-published author to get your book kind of out there?
Well, I knew that I needed a professional editor. So I went about finding a great one, Anne Victory from Victory Editing. I've been working with her since my very first book. She does a great job. It was really the most important thing was treating it like it was a job, that it was, everything had to be professional. So I needed a cover, I needed formatting, and I'm kind of tech stupid, so I had to outsource those things. So I worked on getting the cover, I worked on seeing what sold in the market for YA para to see, you know, what kind of things seem to do well and going from there for the cover and then uploading it to all the different sites. So that was, I guess uploading it was probably the moment where I sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, I just published a book. I waited, but it was, you know, at the time, Young Adult Paranormal was a big seller. So there were people out there really looking for it. And my book actually kind of grabbed on pretty well early on and cemented my resolve to go ahead and keep self-pubbing. So I finished that series out that way.
Well, that's fantastic. So that was your very first series, and it was a young adult kind of paranormal set in Georgia, which is awesome. You have a new series out right now, and that's the Royals series, and it's the third book is coming out on August 26th, and it's Reluctantly Royal, correct?
Yes. That
okay.
is Max Meredith's story.
Can you tell us a little bit about the series as a whole?
Sure. The first book starts with Samantha. She is a graduate student working towards a master's degree in wildlife biology, and she finds out that she's from a long lost line of royalty that defected from a country during like a massive upheaval. So they like defected to protect their family, and the queen of the country wants them to come back. And Samantha is not the kind for tea parties. She does not like to dress up and be fancy, and she curses, and she doesn't really have a filter, kind of like me. So she really, like is the exact opposite of what she thinks a royal should be. And so she has to decide whether or not she's going to take up the title. And so the story starts with her, and there's Alex, which he is Prince Alex of Valyria, and he is nicknamed Prince Yummy. He's there kind of in the wings with his fingers crossed, hoping she'll take up, her royal title and move back to Valyria. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't like to read a lot of stuff that's very depressing, so I don't want to write it either. So I
Makes
typically write
sense.
things that are feel good stories, things that are fun, they're escapism. And so Samantha's story's just, I mean, there's some serious notes to it. There's the reason she ends up deciding to take up her crown. She's on the cover wearing it, so obviously she does. But the reason she does is she had her stepfather is very ill, and there's medicines in the UK and in other countries that we don't have here that you can use over there. So she decides that she's willing to go over there and take one for the team so that he can get a little more medical care. And so that plays a part in the story. And so it kind of sets you up for there's three royal children. Alex is the oldest, Prince Yummy. And then you have Recklessly Royal is about the youngest royal, Kathy, and her handsome biologist David. And then the third book is Max and Meredith. And Max is actually the middle royal. But this book's a little bit more serious. It deals with how addiction affects families, that it happens to all types of families. And so it's a little bit deeper, a little bit darker, but still with a lot of humor interjected and just, fun escapades that the people go through. So.
Awesome. I've read the first one and I really, really enjoyed it. So I look forward to reading the rest of them.
Thank you.
You guys should definitely check out Suddenly Royal, which is available through audible.com. As you know, audible.com is a great source for audiobooks and they have some fantastic choices. So we suggest checking out Suddenly Royal by Nicole Chase. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Okay, so where do you get your ideas from? Like you've talked, you have all these paranormal ideas and you have all these other things. So where does that kind of brainstorming come in? Or are you just like driving down the street and all of a sudden you have like this story idea in your head? Or are there influences to that? How does that work for you?
Yes, to all of the above. I typically have just little things will pop into my head, and sometimes they'll be like really strong ideas, and I'll jot them down in a notebook or in a folder, and they'll come to nothing. And then other times I'll have an idea that just kind of percolates. It like floats around in the back of my brain for a while, and it slowly evolves into something. It can start with the most random thing. Just the idea of a character, or what if this girl who stomps through the mud ends up having to be a princess? How hard would that be? That would be a really hard transition. And so then from there, I don't know, it just kind of evolves,
Yeah.
and I kind of take notes and things, and then at some point, something kind of kicks you in the rump and you sit down and you start writing. So
that's really cool how that kind of works for you guys. Because I'm always fascinated when people are like, oh, I was just, you know, kind of listening to the song and all of a sudden this whole story kind of popped in my brain. And we were talking to Monica Murphy and Rachel Harris last week, and they were explaining like how they get their story ideas and stuff. And it's just so fascinating how that works for everybody. So I love hearing those stories.
I have later this year, The Accidental Assassin is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm self-publishing that one. And it actually started with a song. It started with Demons by Imagine Dragons.
I love that song. Yes.
I love this song with Imagine Dragons. So they feature all my writing tracks on this all the time. But that song, like, really, it just kind of popped into my head. And I really did, literally, I was driving, listening to the song, and got Owen and his story and Ava, and I was like, oh my gosh. And like, I got to the parking lot to get groceries and I'm like writing it down on a napkin in my car. So yeah, I mean, like, you just never know what's going to trigger it. I still don't know. It's just, it happens randomly.
Yeah. Well, that's always so fascinating to me. Now, you are both a New York Times bestselling author and a USA Today bestselling author, which is crazy and awesome, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. What is crazy.
It is. It's like one of those things you're like, oh my gosh, what is it like to get that phone call, to have someone call and be like, oh hey, by the way,
I burnt dinner. I burnt dinner and overcooked the noodles and I had to go get dinner. So yeah, no, it's kind of one of those things, because Suddenly Royal was originally self-published. I put it out, and the market was really full of these dark, heavy, intense, emotional stories, you know, that were kind of, you know, just rip your soul to shreds, and they were really popular. And here's my happy little Suddenly Royal that I'm throwing it to the world, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to bomb. And but I loved it so much, and I just had to write it, so I wasn't going to, you know, not publish it. And I thought, well, if some people like it, that's awesome. And if it doesn't do well, at least I put a book out that I love. And yeah, it was just crazy watching it go through the charts. It was a very surreal time for me.
And was that the first book that you had hit the lists with, was Suddenly Royal?
Yes.
Excellent. That's kind of crazy when you're just kind of like, oh, I'm going to put it out there. It's like nothing else. And I get it, because you're definitely right. When it came out, it was all about these heavy, dark, new adult, you know, titles that were really kind of brooding, grumpy males. And
everybody was angry.
Exactly.
And broken.
Yes, very broken.
Everybody's descriptions had something about broken in it. Like, everybody was broken or tortured in some way. And here's my happy little foul-mouthed co-ed, and she's
had a
worse start. So
it's perfect. Happy foul-mouthed co-eds go a long way.
Well, it was fun to write, so.
Yeah, and see, and that translates, and I think people are always looking for that kind of thing, so you never know. Just because it doesn't fit the mold doesn't mean it won't do well.
It's, you know, and I surprisingly got lots of emails from people that said, oh, so glad to have something that was a little bit lighter and happier. I was, you know, getting tired of that. And I never would have expected that watching the charts and the trends and everything. I would have thought, obviously, I thought, I'm going to put my book out there. No one's going to see it. But thankfully, it got attention. So
you write some new adult, correct? Some of yours is classified as new adult.
Yes.
Yes.
The Royal series is considered new adult.
Okay.
I have a new adult paranormal titled Flukes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a second one in that series, but it's going to be a little bit longer before I can get to that one.
Yeah. So you have new adult, you have young adult, and do you have regular adult titles as well, or are they both mostly young adult and new adult?
You know, I don't have any straight up adult titles.
That's okay.
I guess that The Accidental Assassin probably would fall in that category. Ava is finished college. Owen's an assassin. So
there you go.
I guess it fits the parameters for new adult, but yeah, I'm not sure. And that's kind of the fun thing about being self-published is that I don't have to fit one of the molds.
Yeah.
I can just write the story.
So what does it mean when you do, like, because some of them are classified, like, suddenly royal. What does it mean to write new adult? Do you have, like, a definition for yourself? Do you have an idea? Or you just kind of write it and it lands where it lands?
Well, I guess for me, like, you know, there's lots of debate about the new adult classification.
Right. And that's why I kind of asked, because some people are like, everyone has their own definition in a sense. So I'm just really curious.
Yeah. Well, you know, new adult started out as this really cool thing where we were talking about an age group that was sort of overlooked for a long time. You know, you didn't read stories about college. You know, if you read something and it was a 22-year-old, she was done or she was out doing her thing or, you know, I mean,
yeah,
she was about to get married, you know, like, so like everything was along those lines. And new adult gave us a chance to explore not quite being adult, but having to make adult decisions. And that's a lot of fun to explore. I'm actually really interested in new adult that is outside of the college setting. Because a lot of people don't go straight to college. They take gap years or have to go to work or are pregnant or have children already. But there's still these budding adults.
Yeah.
that have to deal with still all the hormones and all the weird decisions and, like, the consequences of those decisions. And so that's a lot of fun. I think people get caught up thinking that new adult's supposed to be all about sex. And I don't think so. I mean, like, we all like sex, but we don't, you know, that's not the story of the book.
Right.
So yeah, I would say it's a classification of the age of the characters. But you can have paranormal new adult. You can have contemporary new adult. You can have dystopian new adult. You know, so it's not necessarily a genre. It's just a classification, like young adult.
Yeah. All right. So I saw in your bio that you teach a dialogue class called Say What at the Romance Academy.
I was. Okay. I'm taking a break right now. I need to update that. Thanks for...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no, I was doing that. And it's a lot of fun. I just, having the time to devote to it is difficult. I have a 5-year-old and working during the day and then late at night doesn't leave a lot of time in between.
Anything else.
Yeah. At least not without a lot of stress.
Yeah. Nobody needs that much stress. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Romance Academy is? Because I think it's, like, I was like, the Romance Academy, what?
It sounds naughty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
it's actually a group of people that teach classes along the lines of, I believe that my publicist, KP Simon, she teaches classes about blogging and things like that. And then you have people that... teach classes about writing sex scenes, which I blush way too much for that. So that's not so going to happen. But there's lots of things, you know, that pertain towards the romance industry. So yeah. And I really like witty dialogue, you know, when the characters are going back and forth and, they sneak important things into the conversation, things like that, and how you present your characters, how they talk. So that's what I focus on.
Oh, that's very fun. I like that. All right. And do you have any advice for aspiring writers? A lot of our listeners also are writers. They want to work on their craft. They want to be published. And they have lots of interest in that kind of world. So do you have any advice for someone who's aspiring to be a writer?
Well, the first thing is you've got to finish. And that's really one of the hardest parts, especially with your first book. And the second is to get a really mean critique partner that pushes you and to not be offended if they don't like something or if something isn't just right. That way, you know, you're challenging yourself. You're not just going, no, I've got everything right. I mean, that doesn't mean that your critique partner is right, but you need to listen to different voices. We can't critique ourselves. It's just not possible. For a third thing, I would say that, well, I guess it kind of breaks up. If you want to self-publish, you need to make sure your story's in order. Then you have to get a cover, editing, formatting, learn how to upload it to all the different sites, which really isn't as hard as it sounds. And then you know, have to go from there. If you're wanting to go the traditional route, which I totally did backwards, so you take my advice with a grain of salt, I would say to get your story in the best shape that you possibly can. Look for agents that represent other authors in the same genre with books similar to yours and see if they're accepting submissions. And then send it in. Listen to what they say. And then go from there. If you don't like an agent, don't go with them. If it's not a right fit, you're not going to be happy. So I think that's one of the hardest things is that a lot of people jump into relationships with agents because they want to be represented. And then later on, they realize that one wasn't a good one. So
Yeah,
make
that
sure
would be
you're happy
rough.
too. Yeah, well, I mean, and you got to imagine a lot of people, they go like J.K. Rowling. How many times was she, you know,
Yeah.
put down? Like, what was it? The Help was rejected 88 times, something like that.
Something obscene, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so those people had to keep pushing, and that's probably the worst part is to keep going in the face of so many rejections, and they happen to everybody.
Yeah, and I think what's nice about this day and age in publishing is that you do have the option if it's something you feel really strongly about to self-publish it now, that is something that you're capable of doing rather than kind of just having to rely on being picked up by an agent, being picked up by a house. You now have another option, so.
It is, and that's nice. And it's nice that there's more and more platforms to sell
Yeah.
your books on. And they don't stick you in the corner. You know,
Yeah,
like
you're not the bad stepchild in the corner. You're
yeah, they
okay.
don't make you face the wall. You're allowed to talk when people come in the room. So yeah, it's a different world now.
Definitely is. Okay, so now that we're done with all the book talk and the publishing talk, we're going to talk about some more pop culture-y things.
All
Are you
right.
ready?
I will
So,
do my best.
okay. So, because on Hypebeable we cover books, movies, music, TV, you name it. So, we're going to try to cover our bases and see what it is that you like that Hypebeable may cover. And see, Karen is a huge fan of lots of things. She can fill you in. Karen,
Okay.
what's your favorite TV show right now?
Teen Wolf.
Yes. So,
It's not fair because I have the 5-year-old, so like when I have time to watch TV, she's home, so I don't get to watch a lot of
oh no,
TV
you're gonna
shows
get.
that I would love to watch, but are on when she, and then I'm exhausted, so I
Yeah, or you have
lost.
to be writing, or
Yes.
you have to binge watch. You'll have to like take a time when you've like finished one book and you're like waiting on edits or something and just binge watch a show. That's the way to get it done.
I have been watching The West Wing. I've
Huh?
never watch that, and
Oh
which is
wow.
bad, I know.
Yeah.
And so I actually realized I could stream Netflix on my phone while I'm in the carpool line. And so I watch West Wing lately. I've been watching West Wing in the car while I wait for them to put my daughter in
That
the
is fantastic.
But I guess the favorite TV shows for me would be obviously I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
You have come to the right place. Yes,
Yes, definitely.
huge Doctor Who fan. I'm super excited for the next edition.
Yes.
Even my daughter is a Doctor Who fan.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's 5 and she has a TARDIS shirt and
Oh.
The other day, all the kids were playing, and they were, like, being superheroes. She's like, I'm Doctor Who! And they just looked at her like, what? And then they'd run off to go, you know, shoot rings or something. Yeah. I don't know. And she's, like, looking at me like, what? And I'm like, baby, not everybody's seen Doctor Who. And she's just like, why not? And I'm like, not everybody's mom's as cool as yours. I don't know what else to tell you.
So. They just don't get it. I don't know. That is fantastic. Do you have a favorite doctor? Is there one doctor you kind of maybe favor a little bit over the others?
I'm a big Tennant fan.
Yeah, Tennant was good. I did really love Matt Smith, though.
I did, too. He grew on me. It was, like, at first I was like, he is not David Tennant. And then he grew on me. So yeah. My daughter will flat out tell you that Tin is her favorite. She came home from school the other day and like she just started kindergarten. She was like, Mom, I want to sit on the couch and eat a snack and watch Doctor Who. Not the other doctors. I want to watch my doctor. Oh. So she sat on the couch and I let her watch David Tennant.
Like precious. That's so fantastic.
There's probably a ton of parents going, oh my gosh, she lets her 5-year-old watch that.
There's nothing. Well, Doctor Who was originally started as a children's program on the BBC, so.
Which is kind of weird because I think I read somewhere that he was originally planning, they were going to kill, like have the Doctor was planning on killing his two companions. Oh. And then after like the first couple of episodes or whatever, they decided not to.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. Oh, would have gone a whole different way.
Yeah, that could have been very odd, uncomfortable. Not really sure how that would have played out.
Well, my munchkin wouldn't have been watching.
Yeah, obviously. I know. Kind of takes away from it if he's going to be killing off the companions.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. There was probably some really great reason they had, but then when they saw it come together,
change
mind. Yeah. Sometimes writers do that.
Yeah.
Just change crazy people.
All right. So do you have a favorite character from books or television or movies that you love?
Oh, that's not fair.
You can pick one of each if you'd like. You can pick one book, one television, one movie character.
That's still not fair. You're narrowing my world. Let's see. Okay. All right. I don't know. Okay. For movies, I'm a really big fan of anything with Johnny Depp. Okay. But he is a great pirate. I mean, there's so many little like things that he does and like almost gives away but doesn't, and then later you look back and you realize he twitched a little at that one time. Oh my God, that's why. And so, yeah, I really enjoy watching him in anything. Have you ever seen Chocolat with him?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that is a feel-good movie.
Definitely. It involves a lot of chocolate, so it's all good.
Well, yes, exactly.
It's a very nice combination. It works well together.
And Johnny Depp plays a guitar, so yes. You can't go wrong.
Very nice. Feather all around it.
I guess from books.
That was really
like
hard.
That is really, really, really hard. I guess like for me, like characters that really hooked me into like reading and like secured that love for it. Anne McCaffrey wrote The Dragon Riders of Pern.
Yeah.
And she wrote Lessa, who is a queen dragon rider. And she's like the first really strong female in science fiction and fantasy that I came across. And she made a huge impression on me. She was not just background. She wasn't there to decorate the scenes or to provide little plot points and things. So she's a big character. Young adult fiction. I actually didn't read a lot of it when I was a young adult. There was a lot of it as an adult.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of it at the time, I don't think. Because when I was growing up, there wasn't. Unless you wanted to read The Babysitter's Club or Sweet Valley High.
I read any of those.
Yeah, no. Trust me. I lasted a hot 5 seconds on those before I moved on to Stephen King. So,
yeah, I was reading Anne Rice in seventh grade.
Yeah, exactly.
So my mom. So, I mean, I remember being in, like, fifth grade and sneaking my grandmother's Nora Roberts. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything really out there. Like, you know, Tamara Pierce, and I actually got to meet her last May, and I may or may not have gone out into the hallway afterwards and cried a little bit. She wrote the Alana series, which is about a young girl who has a twin brother, and she's supposed to be sent to mage school, and he's supposed to go be a squire, and he hates everything to do with chivalry and being a knight, and she has no desire to be a mage, so she chops off her hair, and she goes to be a squire, and he goes off to be a mage. And it's her, and she hides her, you know, femininity and goes and she does all of it and she makes it. Even though she's the smallest, she's, you know, not the strongest. And her character, I came across her in seventh grade, the book In the Hand of the Goddess. And I don't, you know, you just find those books sometimes that just touch you. Like, that character's like in a similar place, or there's something there that just kind of links you. Yeah. And that was one of the books that, like, just kind of grabbed me. So Alana will always have, like, a big place in my heart.
And your TV character? I didn't forget.
Oh, well, that's got to be Doctor Who.
Yeah, I really do. And conveniently, that encompasses a lot of actors, so that each doctor is a little bit different, so.
But that's kind of the fun part of it, especially for the writers. I look at it and I'm like, oh, they get to change and grow so much and give them something so new to work with.
Yeah, it doesn't ever feel stale because they're constantly, once the actor is refreshed, the whole idea of the doctor and where he's coming from is kind of refreshed as well. So that always makes it fun and exciting.
Yes. So. I'm very excited about the next one.
I'm really curious to see what they do with him and how they're going to play him. And, you know, I've seen the clips of Peter Capaldi, and he seems really into it. So, like, he's so excited by the opportunity to play the Doctor, because he's always been a Doctor Who fan. So,
I'm totally that geek. I read all the stuff when it shows up, like, in my news feed. And so I'm like, oh, Doctor Who.
Exactly. You can't, exactly. I know that feeling. And Karen, you're not going to get off the hook. I want to know what your favorite characters are, too. We're not just going to make Nicole answer all the questions. That would be mean.
That is really terrible. Gosh. Wow. Oh, but there's so many. See, I was laughing because I was like, haha, she has to answer. She has to pick one. And then you turned it around on me.
Yes, I did.
Gosh. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to have to go with, like, at the moment, because it changes so much.
Yeah, no, but I totally get that.
At the moment, I would probably say, for movies, Tony Stark is my favorite. Jen, you know I have an obsession with Tony Stark.
She does.
It's really bad.
I don't hate you.
And, you know, the funny thing is, it's not just a Robert Downey Jr. thing. I mean, he's a good part of it, but I think one of my favorite movies of all time is Iron Man 3, and they did such a good job with his characterization that I'm just really excited now to see him, like, in Avengers 2, and, yeah, I'm really, really excited. Gosh, okay, television shows. You know what? That's actually an easy one, because I just finished the second season of Arrow, and Felicity Smoke is one of the most incredibly written characters, not just female characters, but characters, period, on television right now. And I cannot wait until season 3.
See, and that's another one I'm behind on.
Oh, yeah, no, you need to pull that up on Netflix, because it's definitely, season 1 is there, season 2 should be there shortly. But Arrow is some of the best television there is, and it will never win an Emmy. It will never even get noticed by the Emmys. But season 2 of Arrow was so, so good. Like, it's just, oh my god, it's so good. It has this really great balance of relationships and, like, secrets and mystery, and it's there's action, because of course it's a DC comic, but, like, it is so good. And then there's Stephen Amell, in case you...
Yes, he was the inspiration for David in Recklessly Royal, the second Royal.
Definitely going to go pick that up. yeah, but yeah. No, it is such good TV. Like, I love it. Love it.
My husband was watching it for a while. Like, I caught him watching it on Netflix one day when I came in from having run away to write at
yeah.
the shop because I'm a walking cliche. but, yeah, and he was watching it, and I kind of sat down, and I could see where it would be very, like, it would really engross you and pull you in, so.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch when you have time to stream it, you know.
More books for me. I'm just going to catch up on TV.
Yeah, here, I'm just going to take a little hiatus. I need to get some inspiration.
Stephen Amell.
That's right. So, Karen, which one didn't you do? You didn't do what? Books? Did you do books?
Yeah, no. that's probably the hardest one because I feel like with books, you just, so often you're inside the characters' heads a lot more than you are with television and film, and so you can connect with them a lot more. So there are a lot of people that, or a lot of characters that I really love so, so much, and I think, I'm going to do a tie. I'm cheating. I'm totally cheating.
All right.
But I'm going to do a tie between Hermione Granger from Harry Potter and Annabeth from Percy Jackson, because I actually feel like they have a lot of really similar qualities, and they're both really good characters, I think, for girls to look up to, because they're really intelligent, but they can also handle their own in a duel or a fight. And I love seeing that those two sides of a girl in one person, and it not being, you know, something that she has to struggle with. It's just, it's like natural talent for how intelligent the girl is and how she can kind of stand up for herself. And I think that's really important, not just for little girls to see, but for women in general to see.
Very much. I definitely agree. Yep. And I, for one, am anxiously awaiting the last Rick Riordan book for Percy.
Oh, you've just made a best friend in Karen.
like I'm literally, like, I check Goodreads all the time, and I just, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yep.
I talk about this on the podcast all the time, so I will not repeat myself, but House of Hades was, like, so, so, so good. One of my favorite books of all time. My favorite Percy Jackson book, which is really hard to say because it's in the second series. A lot of the times you're like, oh, you know, the first series is the best. Nothing can surpass it. But I loved House of Hades and Blood of Olympus when it comes out in October. I'm going to be there. I'm going to, like, take a day off of work and I'm just going to read it all day.
She means business.
Yeah. House of Hades was awesome. It was very, very, there were a lot of really powerful themes in it. So, yes. Yeah. Definitely. It was fantastic. And as soon as I closed that on my Kindle, I went and, like, pre-ordered the next one. And, like, I was like, why do I have to wait so long?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to do the reader dance.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So let's see. Okay. So we asked this a lot of times when we do interviews and stuff, because we talked about this a little bit earlier. We didn't really have YA books for, like, there are that exist today when we were younger. So what one YA book from now do you wish you had when you were a teen? And it can be more than one. I'm totally fine with more than one.
Oh, that's rough. Like,
it can be like five. I mean,
there's so many. okay. Well, would Harry Potter be young adult or middle grade? Where do they fall on that? Because
Harry Potter can be YA. That can count. We get that one a lot because, I mean, it's Harry Potter, for goodness sake.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, that would be one I really, really wish, you know, had been out when I was young. I mean, like, I was young-ish, but not, you know, it wasn't in my middle school library or my high school library. So that would be one I really wish I'd had. And I look for, like, as a mom, I look forward so much to reading them with my daughter. It's just, I look forward to experiencing the story again through her. So I have that going for me, at least.
Very true. And Harry Potter is one of those things, like, I was in college when Harry Potter came out, or I was in high school when it first started coming out, and but I hadn't paid much attention to it because in high school I didn't like actually get to read for fun. I didn't have a lot of time, which is so strange. Like if you knew me now and the amount of books I read in a week, it's really quite comical that in high school I barely read. But I also played a lot of sports and I was on like the student government and stuff, so I was always really busy. And then there's that thing called homework that you have to do, evidently.
That really surprises me, Jen, about you, because I do know how much you read.
Like. Right. So, no, but like in high school there wasn't enough time. Like I read the books I had to for like my AP English classes and but I didn't, like, I wouldn't get home till 8 o'clock at night because I had, you know, practice for whatever sport I was playing, or I was working on the play at school. Like, I was really involved with what we were doing at school. So I didn't pay a lot of attention until kind of my probably last year in college and then once I graduated college, because I didn't have a lot of time just to, like, read a book. There were other things I had to do. So once I kind of got past all of that, and I have much younger sisters and brothers, and they were all into Harry Potter, and that's how I got introduced into Harry Potter, was that they were all like, oh my god, we need someone to take us to the midnight release party. You have to do it. Mom can't do it. Like, why can't mom do it? What's wrong with her? They're like, no, you have to do it. And then they would like be in costume, and I'm like, wait, it's not Halloween.
Why did I have to do it again?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You're saying me you won't go with mom, but you want me to take you like that. Yeah, I get over it really quick. But initially I was like, I have no idea what's going on. So
you are a better student than me because I just read instead of doing math homework. I was horrible. Like I can remember, you know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, and that's about it. So if I can't use a calculator, I'm in deep.
No, I got stuck in really high level maths, and in like college, my original degree is in biology and chemistry, so there was a lot of math in that. So like,
I was much better student than me.
I was like, math, just no.
Yeah, like your brain just shuts off as soon as you walk in the room.
Pretty much.
That used to be in my bio, actually, that the math teachers would cringe when they saw my name on their list. So, but yeah, no, I mean, like, but then if you put me in, you know, literature and English and stuff like that, like, it was just, I had the best time in those classes.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
But then I went to school for art history.
So. Oh,
that's cool. I went to school for art history too.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't found anything to do with it yet.
Me neither. It's actually funny because, you know, like I write and I do a lot of editing and stuff too. So I guess maybe that's what we found to do with our art history degrees.
Well, you know, I love to paint. I actually for a while did murals for people. Which was not my favorite thing to do because you go in people's houses and you have to deal with people. you're like in their house and they're like talking around you and doing things and you hear things you don't want to hear. I didn't want to be a starving artist, so I thought art history would be a good job, a good career move. But I live in Backwoods, Georgia, and so I don't know what I was planning on doing with my degree. Out here, so
it happens to all of us. Trust me, I have a degree in biology and chemistry, and I teach special education, so they're not really the same thing. Very different.
Not quite, but I have a lot of friends that teach special education, and it can be a very rewarding but taxing job.
There is that, yes. I do love what I do, but there are days I come home and I'm like, what was I thinking? Yeah, definitely have those moments. All right, so you write a couple of kissing scenes in some of your novels, maybe, yeah?
Just a few. One, two?
Yeah, no, just a few.
I don't know.
You're like, I lose count. So do you have a favorite kissing scene that you've written?
Oh, well, I have to admit, I really love the scene where Alex kisses Sam for the first time. And he tells her to put the knife down because he doesn't want to be stabbed while he does it. So That's one of my favorites. That actually, that scene was one of the first scenes that like really kind of unfolded for me, like before I started writing. So I knew that scene was coming while I was writing. I couldn't wait to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that scene. There's some scene, you know, it's weird because like, I guess a lot of the times it's the first kiss. Yeah. I don't, you know, because
there's, the build up to that first kiss.
Yeah, I think, you know,
the anticipation of it.
Yeah. Or if they've been separated, that kiss when they come back, you know, so that's, there's, yeah, I don't know, like that first kiss for each of the characters or whatever. In my YA series, the Dark Betrayal trilogy, which, by the way, the first one is free on Kindle and
we will make sure to include that. Don't you worry.
There is a first kiss in that one, and it was the first kiss scene I ever wrote. So hopefully it's still good. I don't want to go back and reread it. So, I mean, but like in my head, it was good. So hopefully that translates well. But that one was actually like, I remember the first time I sent that to other people to read to tell me if it was good. Like I literally was like shaking and like, oh my God, they're going to read a kiss scene that I wrote. So I, and by the way, my sister, is a wildlife biologist like Samantha, mm-hmm. Which is where I got a lot of the bird details. Oh.
Very convenient.
Yes. I may have done that on purpose.
I may have made my research really easy, which is awesome. Use your resources around you. That's always got to be key, I think.
Well, you know what, though? Like, as I was writing, I was like, hey, do you know how many birds, you know, are actually, like, accounted for? Like, how many actual species and various subspecies? And she's like, no, I don't. Hey, that's a good question for me to ask my class. I have Samantha ask that in the book of her class. But she reads all of my stuff before anyone else. And she will not read any of my kissing, sex scenes, anything that she literally, I'm pretty sure she covers her eyes and like scrolls down on the screen and like makes the na 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 sound. So
that is fantastic. She just doesn't like it. I mean, is there a specific?
I think it creeps her out because, like, I'm writing it.
Yeah, she's
I'm
like,
here's the story in my voice. So. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I get it.
I tease her about it a lot. She read out loud my one of my books to my mother when she went to visit. And my mom said that she literally flipped through the pages and went, no, 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 no. To skip through the kissing scenes. So. I knew she actually does it.
That is hysterical. I love it. Okay, so what do you need to function as a writer? Like, we hear lots of people say they have to have coffee. I think Rachel and Monica, or Rachel was like, Mountain Dew. I need Mountain Dew. And Monica was like, Diet Coke. Like, there are certain things that sometimes writers need, and sometimes there aren't. But do you have things that you're like, all right, I'm in writing mode. I have to gather my items so I can
focus. Well, it used to be Coke, you know, the liquid kind, not the other. But
good to clarify, just
somebody,
in case.
Somebody pointed that out to me the other day when I said I wanted Coke, and I was like, no, the liquid kind, the kind you drink. So, but I'm actually trying to cut it out. So, I like fizzy drinks. There's lots of like, fizzy fruit juices and stuff. Mm-hmm. Carbonation.
Yeah.
But, and I have a hard time if I'm at home, if the house is not clean, I have a hard time writing. Because I feel like I'm supposed to be cleaning the house. Yeah. And so, a lot of times if I'm on deadline or running late, which never happened to me at all. I have to leave the house. I will go and work at the library so that I'm not distracted by the house or the munchkin running through or the dog wanting to go bathroom. So, because I guess like the way people binge watch, I sometimes binge write and I don't want to be bothered. I have to get it out and go. I have to write. And so sometimes the best way to do that is to leave.
That makes sense, though. I mean,
maybe I should rent a broom closet somewhere. Like, and negotiate, like, bathroom usage and power cable. I don't know.
Okay, so this is a question that I'm really curious about. And I'm kind of going to kind of tweak it here. But what's one book that you would really like to see adapted, either into a movie or television show? Because television show adaptations are starting to become a pretty big thing.
Well, I think that's because with a television show, you can explore the different arcs and character things, you know, on a wider basis, a longer term. Well, I actually just saw that The Dragon Riders of Pern has, by Anne McCaffrey, was optioned by Warner Brothers. And really? So, yeah. And so I am both, like, extremely nerd girl excited and nerd girl nervous. So I mean, like, the thought of seeing the dragons flying and stuff like that, like, that, like, literally, like, makes my blood pump. Like, I'm like, oh, that's going to be so cool. But I'm also, you know, of course, when you have any kind of book or anything that you love that much, you're so invested in, it always makes you nervous that it's not going to be quite right. But I really, that one would be one that would be fantastic. If it's right, it's going to be right and people are going to love it. So I hope they get it right.
Well, Warner Brothers.
Listening, Warner Brothers.
At least they know how to do dragons. I mean, they have some experience with dragons. So at least, you know, the dragons would probably be cool.
Yeah, and I mean, so we'll just listen to maybe a good soundtrack and watch dragons fly.
There you go.
I mean, there are worse things, so yeah.
As long as it's not Aragorn, we're good.
I liked Aragorn.
I know you did, Karen, I know.
Okay, so here's some fun fill-in-the-blank questions. If I weren't a writer, I would be...
I guess maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I never thought being a writer was possible, and now I can't imagine doing anything else. I guess I'd be an artist.
Okay.
Hopefully not a starving one.
Yes. If I could have one supernatural power, it would be...
Oh, to fly. That would be so awesome. But I'm scared of heights. But if I was controlling it, it could be okay.
That would be kind of funny, though. Like, I have the ability to fly, but I don't use it.
Or the superhero with the cape that flies with their eyes shut.
Nice.
Okay, last one. Very important one. My Hollywood crush is...
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
That's so funny. That's exactly what Monica said, too.
I can't help it. He is Alex for me. He is Prince Yummy. So, but yeah, so I hope to God that I never actually meet him, though, because I would be so freaking embarrassed. I would be red and not be able to say anything. And I'd sputter and be like, oh, my God, what is happening to me? So, yeah. I hope I never meet him.
We saw him at Comic-Con. I was at the panel, the Marvel panel, and he is just, like, ridiculously large. Like, and I
saw pictures.
Yeah, like, I can't get over how big he is. Like you see pictures, and you're like, oh, he's, you know, he's really well-built and stuff, but he's not just well-built. Like, he's big. Like, sitting next to the other guys, you're like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah. There's that.
I saw pictures of him flexing.
Yes, that's what I recall. Because I'm like, I think his, like, bicep was bigger than Mark Ruffalo's head. I mean, it was insane.
That's intimidating.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one, I'm incredibly jealous that I wasn't at Comic-Con. But two, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's really hot.
he is very handsome.
He is
very attractive.
And I have a thing for blonde haired, blue eyed guys. Just ask my husband. He's really hot too.
So, throw that out there.
I don't get in trouble.
You're like, just, you know, trying to keep it under wraps. So, Karen, who is your Hollywood crush, Karen?
I think you're fishing, and I...
Why would I fish? I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
The thing is, I don't know if he is my Hollywood crush. Like, my ultimate Hollywood crush? I don't know. Jen wants me to say Dylan O'Brien, because...
Well, no, I think that is partially your Hollywood crush. I think you know.
I mean, he's very important to me, and he's very good-looking.
I love how he's important to me. So, do you have any others that fall into that category?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like my Hollywood crushes tend to be like off the beaten path a little bit, but oh man, I don't know. I feel so much pressure right now.
It's not meant to be pressure. It's meant to be, like, fun. It's fun.
I feel like if I say something, then that's going to be, like, my Hollywood crush forever. And
oh, no, you can easily.
Wait, I can't change my mind? What happens? It's, like,
never.
It turns out to be this horrible guy or something.
Exactly. You can always change your mind. We're very fickle here at Booker. We are not fussy.
Okay, I'm just going to go with Dylan O'Brien then, because
all right,
that works for me. Who's yours, very Jen? Important to you?
What's that?
I said because he's very important to you.
Yes. That was the best thing that you could, that was the best line ever, Karen. Yes.
Who's yours, Jen?
Do you really have to ask that?
I don't, but I think you should
have. Well, I want to know.
Oh, you're like, wait, what about me? I kind of love Benedict Cumberbatch. Just a little bit, you know. Poor Karen. Like, I don't really talk about that sort of stuff, like, ever. And so the very first time I actually, like, said something, Karen was like, oh, my God. She was a little surprised by it.
Overwhelming how much she really thought about him and how much
she... Now you're making me sound crazy.
I know, I'm crazy, but yeah, like you said, I mean, it's not like we sit down and we're like, oh my God, this guy is so hot, like, all the time.
No, we don't. We are... What do you mean? Of course we do, Karen. I don't know what you're talking about. No, but I definitely... I don't know. There's something very intelligent about him, and I think that's what I really like.
Yeah.
As all the other stuff, you know.
I was late to the Sherlock bandwagon, but boy, did I went on binge with those. And then went straight on to Amazon and Vudu and everywhere to see if I could buy more.
So, yeah, you're like, where are the rest?
Yes, I'm like, I need more.
Yeah.
I tried to talk my daughter into naming her newest stuffed animal Watson the other day.
Yes. Okay. You're in the fan club. You can come visit anytime you want. You like all the things we do.
And then I have the problem that I stand things on things that my daughter loves, like My Little Ponies. And the other day, like, I was like, yeah, like, why am I watching this? She's not here. Like, and then I found a My Little Pony called Dr. Hooves, and he has a sand thing on his side that's like his cutie mark, is like a
yeah.
And so I totally bought it, and it's on my bookshelf in my office.
It's fandoms colliding. It happens.
It is. My poor husband is cringing.
He's like, oh my God.
He is so not nerdy. And I'm like, how did you end up with me? Like,
how does this work? I don't get it. It just does. All right. So that basically wraps up all the questions we had for you. Did you have any questions or anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Oh, we're going to leave.
We're totally leaving.
My Little Pony. yeah, no, I'm good.
Nope, that's it.
Let me just say that this little My Little Pony is styled after David Tennant, and I'm a big fan.
That's fantastic.
So.
Oh, that is so good.
But no, I'm good. guys for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been so much fun. And everyone should be on the lookout for Reluctantly Royal, which is the third book in your series, right? Or Recklessly.
August
26th. And check out the whole Royal series. And we'll put up a list of your books so they can kind of check out what else you have written in case Royals aren't their thing. There's lots of other things that are really cool that you've written. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we'll find something.
I'm sure there's something for everyone in your backlist because you have lots of different things that you kind of
I really do. Like, I even have a Christmas story that I wrote. I had pneumonia and they pump you with all these steroids and like I couldn't sleep, so I just wrote a story. Published it. I didn't tell anybody. I just wrote it and edited it and then published it in 1 week.
You're like, hey, what the heck? That's awesome.
I can't sleep anyway, so.
Okay, we're definitely going to check out that one because I'm sure that one's good.
All right. It's actually one of my favorite things, so.
It'll be on the list, so everyone can. And the holidays are approaching, I mean.
They are.
Ooh, not that close.
Careless. Whoa.
I saw how the stores already have like Christmas stuff out.
Oh my gosh. Well, I got really upset because I saw Halloween candy in the store today and I'm like, it's August. No.
Yep.
Oh, that's.
It's going to be really melted.
Okay. So thank you so much for coming on. Until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
Until next time, goodbye, guys.
Bye.